Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see all of you, and all the reports about the Passover and beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread with the night to be much observed have been so very positive. And there's an excitement in the air, isn't there? Beautiful springtime of the year, fresh blossoms, color. But the most exciting thing of all is the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'd like to briefly ask, though, should Christians even be keeping like this Feast of Unleavened Bread? You know, the Old Testament command is very clear, but what about the New Testament? Jesus Christ, as a child, at the age of 12, went up to Jerusalem. Remember, you can read that in Luke chapter 2 sometime, beginning in verse 41. And then in the book of Acts, we have reference to the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me give you a couple of scriptures you could look up if you'd like. Acts chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, you'll find the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also the Passover mentioned. By the way, the King James Version uses the word Easter there. Why the translators had that quirk and put Easter there, I have no idea. Everywhere else they translated the word correctly as Passover, as it should be. And it is in the New King James translation. Acts 12, verses 3 and 4. Acts 20 and verse 6, also a reference to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the Passover and also about the feast. Let us keep the feast, it says. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. And then in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, there's reference to the New Testament Passover and the way that Jesus observed it on the night before his death. Do you know there's also secular history? You can go to encyclopedias, and you will find comments freely that the early church continued to keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, these holy days. And there came to be a controversy in the early church over Easter. And the Western church, by Western we mean Rome, the Eastern church would have been over in what is today modern-day Turkey. But in the Western church, they insisted upon Easter. And so at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, they ordained, or let's say they instituted Easter as the, instead of the 14th day Passover, they said that everybody should keep Easter and nobody should follow the blindness of the Jews. Did you know that at that council they set Easter so that if ever Easter came on the same day as the Passover, then it would be delayed 1 week because there was to be no concurrence with the Jewish celebration as they looked at it, so that those two would never come on the same day. You can read that in the 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. So there's ample proof then that we should be observing these days. There is in Eusebius, who wrote an ecclesiastical history, he brings out proof that the followers, the true Christians, continued to put away the leaven. Polycrates, who was the disciple of Polycarp, said he and his relatives observed the day when the people put away the leaven. So yes, there's ample proof both in the Bible as well as even in secular history that we should be observing the Passover as well as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The question I'd like to briefly have us think about this morning is, but does it really do any good for us to put away the leaven? Does that really do any good? The physical things, we notice that there are a number of physical things that God has us to do, symbols, you might say, of deeper spiritual things, such as baptism. Does baptism do any good? Well, only if we follow through on what it means, the death and burial and resurrection to newness of life, death and burial of the old man. Laying on of hands after baptism, that's a physical thing where God gives his spirit. Laying on of hands and anointing with oil. think about it, there are a good number of things that we do, physical type things. The anointed cloth mentioned in Acts chapter 19 is a physical type thing. The laying on of hands for little children, does that do any good? We know that it does. And at Passover, we wash feet. I had one person tell me many years ago, he didn't think that was, that's just symbolic. What good does that do? Well, it doesn't do any good unless we follow through on the symbolism, the humility of and the service toward others. What about the bread and the wine we take at the Passover? And then we put out the leaven. And I know we spent days last week gathering up everything. We still do vacuum. We try to not be pharisaical about this, but we do try to be careful to get rid of all the leaven that we possibly can. And to then eat the unleavened bread. Now we're into those 7 days of eating the unleavened bread. But does this physical act of eating the unleavened bread really do any good? You know, this actually is a spiritual exercise. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, they have military exercises. Does it sharpen them so that they will be able to engage in warfare if necessary? Yes, it does. It prepares them. So does the spiritual exercise of having put out the leaven, you worked on that last week, you probably began to gather things up, maybe early in the week or even before, and during the week, and then had it totally out, certainly by last night, at the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it's a spiritual exercise of putting out sin. Does it do good? It does do a lot of good. Does eating the unleavened bread during these 7 days do any good? If it's just an outward type thing, then it doesn't do any good, really. But if it is something that helps us to realize the need to put out anything that is contrary to God's holiness and righteousness, contrary to His law, and then eating the unleavened bread shows Christ actually feeding on Jesus Christ as the manna from heaven, John chapter 6, then it does a lot of good. It's a spiritual exercise. And so each of these 7 days, as we begin the Feast of Unleavened Bread today, We just need to keep that in mind. This is a spiritual exercise that we're going through. Just like, as I mentioned, the military has exercises so that they sharpen their skills. They become better at what they're doing. And we can become better at what we're doing in having Christ to live in us and follow the holy, righteous way that God wants us to live and to put out anything contrary to that. So yes, these 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread or a spiritual exercise that can do us a lot of good inwardly. And this physical act of eating the unleavened bread for 7 days can help us to internalize more of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So yes, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread both use physical symbols of deeper and profound spiritual meaning. And they help us to internalize the rich spiritual meaning of these 8 days of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover is past now, but we can still reflect on the meaning of the foot washing, broken bread, and wine. And we certainly can be thinking about the meaning of the unleavened bread as we eat it these 7 days. Each day as we eat the unleavened bread, if we let it be a spiritual exercise, it can help to deepen, it can help us to internalize more of Christ, the spiritual bread from heaven. So yes, keeping these festival days will have a profound impact upon our lives if we keep them in spirit and in truth. So let's rejoice in these days. This is such a beautiful time of the year, and the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are such wonderful and beautiful holy days, so rich in spiritual meaning. So I hope that you have wonderful days. Tomorrow is Monday. When they said, I watched a little bit of news this morning, they mentioned it being Monday. Somehow I've lost track of where we are. And it didn't seem like today is Sunday and tomorrow is going to be Monday. But we'll go through this week then. And I hope that you have a wonderful 7 days of spiritual exercises as you keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, we're going to get right on into the Holy Day offering for just a few minutes. So if anybody needs an envelope, we'll be very happy to bring you one. We will not turn to Deuteronomy 16, but we know that God does want us to come not empty-handed. He wants us to give as we have been blessed. You know, I was going to read, and maybe we'll read just one or two verses from 1 John chapter 4. Something to think about more deeply as we keep this festival and as we give our holy day offering. In 1 John chapter 4, and beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. And notice verse 10 says, not that we loved God. No, we weren't born loving God. God loved us anciently, but we were not born loving God. We must learn as we go along how to love God and what he has done for us. And what more could God do to show his love toward us? He gave his Son, Jesus Christ, who was willing to empty himself and give his life. What more could God do than what he has done and what he continues to do? This is love, not that we loved God, no, but we are learning to love God more deeply all the time, hopefully. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the Passover. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And skipping on down to verse 19, we love him. We are learning, and we do love God as the first great commandment has us to do. We love him because he first loved us. And God first loved us when? When he began to envision a family before time began. God first loved us millions and maybe billions of years ago, when he began to envision a family with children. God first loved us. I tell you, that love then that God first had for us is an ancient love. It goes way back. And we love him because he loves us so much. It is obvious that God is endearing his family to himself. He is. When we think about these things and we grow in the meaning of the Passover, God is endearing his children to himself, because as we learn more and more that God first loved us and what he has done for us, then it endears us to him. And God is also endearing his children to one another. Isn't that what every parent wants, really? He wants his children to be endeared to himself. And he wants his children to be endeared to each other as well. So God is endearing us to himself. He's endearing us to each other. Think about this as we go on forward. God first loved us anciently, and we are learning to love him, and we're learning to love one another. Brethren, the holy day offerings do help in doing the work of God. I won't read everything. I think even comments. I was going to read some comments from Beyond today, but I think I will skip that. Next to the last page, you will find comments from our readers. I always enjoy reading those. It shows the impact our work is having upon others.